You ready?
Yeah.
Nerd soul.
Late ill kid at one young still holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people? Today, oh yeah, coming with another wonderful episode of Dope Folks. Today is an interesting entry into the series because I met this young lady by a video that was shared on Twitter that mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to be in. She put me in a list of like a whole bunch of other black people that were really, really cool. So I was like, oh snap, she has a channel and it's about animation. She's breaking stuff down, having a good time, and you know, getting her little teacher on as well over there. So,
right.
You know, is it black women animate or is it black woman animate?
Black woman animator.
So I introduce you to Black Woman Animator.
Hello. Annyeonghaseyo. my name is Deborah Anderson. I go by the Black Woman Animator. I'm a 3D artist. And so I just moved to Los Angeles maybe a couple months ago. I think Saturday was like my 2-month anniversary.
Okay.
I don't have a job right now, but my last job was working for the state of Louisiana as an animation specialist. Mm-hmm. And I've worked in the industry, and I also have a YouTube channel called Black Woman Animator, where I try to tell kids and adults about animation, because adults, I know I've done a couple workshops where the adults had more questions than the kids. And so I try to tell everybody about animation, and then I kind of tackle race and gender on my channel too, trying to provide a different perspective than is usually shared. So.
Cool. So first, I thank you for being on the channel. Second, mm-hmm. I thank you for putting me in that list. And third, I thank you for the work that you do, you know, for the state of Louisiana. I'm sure there's people, all right, that learn things. When it comes to doing animation specialism for a state, what does that entail?
Yeah, that was always really interesting to explain to people. 98% of people looked at me crazy because, you know, with state government, you don't usually hear of animation, which I'm sure we were pretty much the first state in the country to have animation. And I'm sure some of our competitors have it now. But I started there in 2014. And essentially, I worked for Louisiana Economic Development. And so that's in economic development. They're always trying to get companies to move to different states. And so we were an incentive program. And so we provided like job fairs, training for free to companies that provided so many jobs. And so I would be like the cog in a wheel. I would provide a 3D model for maybe a PowerPoint, or I would animate a video where like we worked with the Louisiana College system. And so they would be training for industrial manufacturing. So I might do some pumps, valves, gears, and animate that for a class. So it was kind of very ranging. So.
Okay. Because see, in my mind, I'm like, oh, you do it for the state. Maybe she like, you know, does like short bumper animations for like PBS or something. I don't know, mm-hmm. you know, something for the kids.
Yeah, it was mostly industry based. So like a lot of industry in Louisiana is oil and gas, chemical, paper, all that type of stuff. So a lot of boring stuff.
So you said you moved to LA recently.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So essentially there is no animation industry in New Orleans / Louisiana, and I tried to make it work for almost 12 years, and so I was just like, okay, I guess it's time to go. and Los Angeles provides the opposite, where there's plenty of opportunity here, and so I wanted the opportunity, like if I didn't feel like I was being fulfilled, or if I didn't feel like if I felt like I wanted to go to a new job, it was possible, because I worked at my previous job for like 5.5 years, and then I was job searching for 4.5 years. So if I had found a job, I would have stayed there. So
what up? Makes sense. So yeah. On your channel, you talk about, you know, like breaking down animation, especially for like kids and adults, and more so adults. What's a question that you get more so from adults than children when it comes to animation?
From adults? I'm trying to remember. I did a workshop for the 100 Black Men in New Orleans. I'm trying to remember what some of their. I know something that people were amazed by. I told people, you know, when you go to an animated movie, and sometimes at the end they might have what's outtakes, but in animation that's actually extra work. So you know, in live action, an outtake is the actor messed up on camera and they just shoot. But in animation, there's so much pre-production. Everything you're doing is done on purpose. Like, they do take out scenes sometimes, but that most times they take it out in the storyboard or the animatic, which is like the animated storyboard part of the process. But if you see outtakes, like fully rendered 3D animated outtakes, that's extra work. That's like they plan those outtakes as well sometimes. Or it was maybe a funny outtake that a voiceover actor did, and then they decided to animate it. But that was something people were amazed by.
Cool. So when it comes to your, you know, your search for, I guess, animation opportunity here in Los Angeles, what's something that you're looking to get into? Like, are you looking to get into like 2D, 3D, you know, is there a certain house that you're looking to? Are you looking to do some creator-owned stuff?
So I'm looking to get back into like film and TV, 3D animation. So my journey, I graduated from Rochester Institute of Technology in upstate New York. And then I moved to New Orleans, and then I couldn't find a position. So I decided to go to South Korea to teach English. And so I taught English in South Korea for 1 year. And then my second year in Korea, I actually worked for an animation company called Digital Emation, and I got to work on Family Guy, Cleveland Show, Batman the Brave and the Bold, and Scooby-Doo straight to DVD movies. So my first job in my industry was in a foreign country. I didn't speak fluent Korean, and I got my name in the credits like within 2 years of graduating from college, and usually people wait 10 years, so that was cool. Now that I'm in LA, I don't have to work for somewhere where my name's gonna be in the credits, because I've been there, done that. So I'm just trying to find somewhere to pay me the salary that for what I want to do. So,
okay.
So it could be a small studio if need be.
Cool. So to look at where you were 2 years after college, for people that are looking to get into animation, because I know there's always, you know, knowledge to drop. When it comes to your process, even though your process might not be everybody's, what did your process look like going through college, and then also kind of being at your first job, like getting to the studio, sitting at the desk, actually working?
Yeah, so for the college thing, I truly feel there's like really nothing you can tell an 18-year-old that they're gonna listen to.
18-year-olds listen, they be listening.
Sometimes. My niece didn't when she went to college, but I feel like my first 2 years of college was very different from my second 2 years of college, where my second 2 years of college, I decided to kind of take hold of my my coursework and decide to do more pointed work. So like when my second 2 years of college, whether it was my animation courses or my social sciences courses, I decided to kind of focus on race, because I did go to a predominantly white institution, and we would always have these the Black Awareness Coordinating Committee would always have these events where we asked these race questions, but white people didn't come. So I'm like, well, how do we find out what they think? Oh, they have to participate in class, so I'm gonna ask them there. And so that's and then I also suggest don't do the bare minimum for what your professor gives you. Like, take it, I'm sure a bunch of people who went to college, hindsight is 20/20, and they would have taken it way more seriously. Like, the people who go to college in their 30s are like, yeah, I'm taking it seriously, I'm paying for this. But when you're like 18, 20, you're like, I'm just gonna go play Frisbee. But I really suggest that you like take your projects further so that you can learn more. Always do what's required. And you know, there's some of those professors who are sticklers, and if you do extra, then you get a bad grade for it. But just be wary of that. But just take your projects to another level so you can try to learn as much as possible, because college is the perfect time to do that. Now, fast forward to after moving to New Orleans, I feel like the reason I didn't get a job is because I wasn't properly prepared. And that's not because I didn't know how to be properly prepared, but you know, you just try to do things the way you want to do it. And so I was applying to jobs with, you know, images on the site, but what I really needed was a demo reel or a portfolio, which is standard in our industry. So I have the story of how I got my job. Now to preempt this, like, people are still, even though I, August will be my 10-year anniversary of like my first day working at the animation company back then, but people still reach out to me. Like I have like videos and articles on how I was only there for 2 years, but people are like, are you still in Korea? And I'm like, no, I left a long time ago. But like I always tell my story, but people still ask me, oh, what job board should you use? I didn't use a job board. That's what I say in my story. I don't know how to get a job in Korea. I accidentally got a job in Korea. So I went, I like emailed a bunch of companies for a tour because I had never seen an animation studio. And two companies responded, one in Gwangju where I live. And so that was an incubator. And then another one in the one I ended up working for, Digital Emation. They took me for a tour. And at the end of it, they were asking me, did I had to have a demo reel? And that's like not being properly prepared. I didn't have a demo reel. And so you always gotta, like, you know, luck is when opportunity needs preparation. So luckily, yeah. I was like, I don't, but I can have one. And they accepted that answer. So when I went back to Gwangju to go teach, in between classes, after school, and on the weekends, I was doing my demo reel. So like 4 months to the day, I sent back my demo, my finished demo reel, and then they offered me a job. So the nice. I always encourage, be prepared according to what your industry standard is, because that, and then like if you don't know what to do, there's hashtags on Instagram that you can look up. There's Behance, there's ArtStation. Look at what you want to do, and then look at what people working in the industry are doing, and then try to do that. Also, I have a jobs and animation series on my YouTube channel where I go through different things. I still have to finish it, but it's like, so you like to draw, here's what you can do. So you like to paint, here's what you can do. So you like to make things. And so I have maybe 6 or 7 videos so far.
That's very valuable to the community, because there's, you know, there's a lot of kids that look like us that are like, I know how to do this.
Yeah.
What's the next step? Like, you know, because there's a lot of kids like, I drew growing up. There's other kids. There might be a kid where there's like, it's two of us in the school.
Yeah.
We're both dope, but it's like, what do we do outside of drawing pictures for our friends? Like, like, how do we, what's the next step? Where do you go? So that's super valuable. And
that's the number one purpose of Black Woman Animator, is that even though I drew all my life, and I had my Disney books, I drew from my VHS tapes and all that stuff, I was surrounded by animation, but I didn't conceptually think about being in the industry. And so I was like smart, did dual enrollment, and took 7 community college courses when I was in high school, and the 7th class was an animation class. And I'm like, oh, I want to do this. So it wasn't until my senior year of high school that I realized that I wanted to be in animation. Yeah. So that's the point of Black Woman Animator, is to introduce it to you when you're 5 or whatever, because that we don't get that exposure as Black people. So you don't have a neighbor that's an animator.
And like when it comes to kind of most of our, even though, you know, regions are different, our general kind of upbringing doesn't really look at animation as an avenue to take, you know, or art. And you know, it's not always their fault. It's just, you know, our parents were taught, hey, and I mean, to their credit, their generation was like, look, you go to college, you get a good job, you stay there, you retire. And, you know, over that time, things changed. So, you know, I definitely understand, you know, where you're coming from, where it's like, we don't really have that kind of surrounding where it's like, oh, this guy is a writer, this guy's an animator, this guy works on comics that's down the street. It just usually doesn't play itself out like that.
And I got to meet LaShawn Thomas, who worked on Boondocks. I got to meet him when I was out in Korea, and then I got to meet him a second time when I was when he came to New Orleans, and we were, as a group, we were having a good discussion afterwards, after his panel discussion, where he was saying in the 60s and 70s, like, Black people were just trying to survive. Like, we didn't have
True.
We couldn't concentrate on like, oh, let me go into animation. And so, and then there's, my thought of like, there's that starving artist trope where they think you're going to be poor and all that stuff. So it's just,
and there's
so
kind
many
of like
stigmas.
This fear protection thing from your parents where not intentionally all the time. I don't know everybody's parents, but well-meaning parents aren't trying to specifically kill dreams. It's their fear slash protection mode coming in and saying, just get a job. Just get something that you can clock in and clock out because, you know, because it's like, look, you need, I want you to know where your next check is coming
from.
You know, and so I get it, but at times it does, it kind of hinders that kind of like expansive kind of like exploration of like your imagination and your creativity. So with that said, you talked about drawing on VHS tapes. Shouts to VHS tapes. We still love y'all.
I got a whole box in storage. I had my dad send them to me before I left.
Man. So what are some of the animated shows or movies that you were looking at that kind of like really blew your mind and was like, hey, I want to draw or I want to do this?
Yeah, I mean, I remember some of the stuff in my notebook would be, you know, Mickey Mouse, Goofy. I remember I drew like, because my older cousin draws, and I remember going over my grandmother's house and him having comic books, and I drew the X-Men babies. And I remember, like, you know, when you mess up, it was like a hand and I was missing the ring finger. I distinctly remember that. But I drew the cover of the X-Men babies. So it was just like whatever like material was around, I would like be drawn. And people always thought I traced, and I was like, nope, it's not perfect, so.
Back in the days, cats would always be like, yo, you traced that. Yo, like, it was always some hater dudes that was like, you traced that. It's like, no, I didn't trace it. Look how thick this paper is, man.
Right.
I would trace that.
And then, of course, there was that section in middle school where everybody was drawing Pokemon. Like, I never watched Pokemon, but I was drawing them. I got those in my notebook. So, it was just multiple iterations.
Let's see. When I was when I was coming up, I've always liked kind of like Looney Tunes type stuff. So I drew that. I distinctly remember drawing Sea Bear and Jamal for like multiple people. big shouts to Dragon Ball Z. Because I was drawing them. Yo, I was making mad. Well, what
I got some Dragon Ball Z pictures.
I thought I was really making mad money. I was like, yo, you want me to draw you Goku? That'd be $10. Like, you can tell me. Yo, that would be
$10. Entrepreneur.
Oh, you want two characters? Nah, it had to be 15. So I was trying to make deals, and it's funny because it's like, you're in middle school, you know.
Like, right.
I don't know. I know it has to cost something.
Hold on. I'm trying to, my cousin's gonna keep
the FBI trying to shut us down.
I'm trying to turn off these notifications.
FBI usually, trying to take us out.
I usually try to put it on I forgot. I'd be forgetting. So yeah. My cousin is about to like submit a bunch of stuff to this Slack channel. It's gonna be buzzing all day. So.
Yeah. shouts to Slack.
Right.
So when it comes to the stuff that you were inspired by back then as opposed to now, is it similar or is it vastly different? Like, were you inspired by, say, I don't know, like Sailor Moon back then, and now you're inspired by, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of something that's vastly different, like Beastars or something like that.
So back then, I'm a big like Disney fan, so Lion King and all that type stuff, like the miraculousness of like traditional animation. Even though I'm a 3D person, I still like 2D animation, hand drawn animation, and just that like the elasticity of it and what you can do with it. And so that's what I was inspired by when I was younger, and a lot of TV shows, Looney Tunes and stuff like that. But now my inspiration is like whatever's in the world, like kind of after I moved with my father and him, you know, my dad tries, like, I didn't even realize that at the time, but he was like crafting me into a little Angela Davis. And so, and he's done that with my nieces. And so a lot of my projects that I want to work on eventually are out of our history, particularly the history that isn't attached to like trauma. And so like trying to bring to the forefront, like, you know, the Black cowboys, or the fact that when Europeans first came over here, we, like, Native Americans were dark skinned. The idea that Vikings were Black too, like, just a lot of inspiration from our history, or highlighting how I grew up, like, you know, the Black church, or also, like, on Instagram, I follow a lot of people I'm inspired by. So just getting inspiration from other Black artists and stuff like that. So it's a lot different than getting it from, you know, these big companies. It's the people around me, or whatever our history is, or even like, I even have like an idea for a project called Kids with Style, where it's just like all, you know, all these Pinterest boards where these like moms are dressing up their kids, like, and they looking like little grown people. Like, I want to do some pretty models.
Why does this dude look like he got a job?
Right. I like that aesthetic. So I want to like create some little 3D kids and like just be dressing them up in all different kind of outfits.
Cool. So when it comes to things that you know, you see and you kind of like recommend, you know, for people to watch, because I mean, you know, you're an animator, you're watching stuff. What would you recommend to people that's out there like, hey, I'm looking for something new. Like, I'm tired of watching the old stuff. I've been watching, I've been watching Ghost in the Shell over and over. So,
right.
So I want some new stuff. Is there anything that you like, that you regularly, like, you need to see this?
I just would encourage people to kind of like, because, you know, with the advent of YouTube and, you know, Netflix and stuff like that, there's a big indie industry now. And so just like searching out just people on YouTube that are doing different things. Like I mean, I just happen upon things. There's like a web series that I like called Guy Moments that talk about like the just like the funny things with, you know, relationships, where there's one episode where, you know, the guy is like, or the woman calls the guy and she's like, oh, do you want me to come over? He's like, I don't care. And she's like, but do you want me to come over? It's like, it's cool. And she's like, but do you want me? So it's like, and then there's another episode where, you know, the battle of relationships where the woman doesn't know where she wants to eat. So,
oh, I think I've seen that one.
Yeah. And so, I'm trying to think, like, because I mean, I watch a lot of mainstream stuff. I like the idea of Motown Magic on Netflix, just because I'm from Detroit. And so
nice.
The combination of that old school music, you know, that Motown music, and the animation is really cool. And how they combine whatever song is the theme throughout the episode. And then it's like a life lesson with it, too. So just like listening to Stevie Wonder. And so if you don't know about Motown Magic, go watch that.
and shout, since you're from Detroit and you opened that door, shouts out to the D, of course, J Dilla, King of Beats, rest in peace.
I also have an idea for like just doing 3D models.
How did you get there? I'll be like, look.
Nah, like, I also have an idea for like doing 3D models of like rappers. Like, I have like, I be doing research. I have more ideas than I have time, but I have like a whole list of rappers that I want to do.
Like, they'll be happy. He'd be like, man, let me get my sleep on, but I want to do like 4 more things before I go to bed.
Yeah, and then I have another project, like my From Detroit project, where I've just like downloaded pictures of a bunch of people from, or Black people from Detroit, and like doing 3D models of those. So, yeah.
Word up. So, we are, I think we're at a good time for some shout outs. Do you have any other artists that you're digging? I know you did the video with the creators, or the content creators, but who are some artists, some animators that you want to shout out that you see that are also like kind of grinding out there doing their thing?
I just highlighted a guy, Joshua Leonard, on my channel. he's got a comic called Team Supreme, which is a like a superhero group for people with disabilities.
Yes, I saw some artwork from that. Yes.
Yeah, so him, another person I just had on my channel, Jaren Merchant, she's an illustrator. So she does a lot of illustrations for black children's books. Who else? I mean, my Instagram is full of people. My dude, Kevin Palmer, he's a great illustrator, animator. Let's see, some 3D modelers. I don't even know how to pronounce his name, but it's like Jay Huddison. I highlighted him in like a 3D artist to follow. And you know, the impetus behind that, that was last year. But, you know, they create the, like, we always create these lists that say black people to follow. And I'm like, why don't we just create a list and it say people to follow and they just be all black? That's what the other people be doing.
Because that's what I try to do in, like, for instance, like, Dope Folks. If you look at the series. Like, look at the series,
we
you're like,
oh. We don't gotta put black on it, we just know what it is.
It's just like, you see, you're like, oh, I see a trend here.
Right. That's exactly what they be doing. Why we gotta put black on it? They'll know when you see the person.
All right. So with all that, real quick, where can the wonderful people online come to find you, come to learn, come to check out other people, all that good stuff?
So I do want to mention the list I highlighted you on. So for Black History Month, I tried to do daily videos. I got about 25 out of the 29 days, and I finished it in March. But that's neither here nor there.
It's still good.
But I did like daily videos of some of them were lists like black puppeteers, black shows from pre 2000s, post 2000s. So your video was actually black animation and blurred content. So that's the list. Yeah, that's the list that you were highlighted on. But if you want to find more of my stuff, I'm a Black Woman Animator everywhere. That's BLKWMN Animator, all one word. And so you can find me on YouTube. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I got a Pinterest board. Like I'm Black Woman Animator on everything. So that's how you can find me.
What up? Well, thank you for coming through. Thank you for hanging. You know what I'm saying? We got people out here
Thank
doing
you for
construction.
Having me.
People out here doing construction. They like, look, you done. Cut it off. Yeah. It's over.
Right.
But guys, of course, NERD, SOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. That's right. RLM Street, Spotify for some music, podcast, all that jazz. And check out Deborah. She's killing it. All right. And also, she's, you know, I mean, hey, look.
I also have some Spotify playlists. I got a little thing.
Oh, what?
So you can check me out on Spotify too.
Yeah, so yeah. Look, hey, look, go support. All right, I'm just saying. The links is like right down there. So,
right.
Yeah, you see? Show them where to go. Yeah. So, guys, thank you for hanging with us. Holler at us, we'll holler at you down in the comments. Ask her some questions. Go tweet at her, ask her some questions. Whatever you want to do, learn how to get your animate on and get better at drawing and all that jazz. And of course, until next time, this is for us to you saying, you ready? Peace.